Opinions expressed on this podcast do not necessarily reflect those of the management of Louisville.am and Veritas New Media, a Louisville.am production. From the beautiful Metro Business Center at Dundee and Douglas in Louisville's Highlands, this is the Startup Podcast. My name is Dan Vonderhyde. It's my weekly talk with an entrepreneur talking about what they're working on. And in particular, this week is great. I sit down with John Mader, formerly of Why Wait, currently of Local View. Why Wait sort of evolved into Local View. They pivoted. They figured out what was not going to work. They took what they had built and turned it into something else. And, of course, they added all sorts of new stuff in it, too. So it's a really great story of a team of people who just didn't see something that was working out, but they forged ahead and they met with their investors and they talked about what they were going to do, and there they go. They're off and running. So it's a great startup story of recognizing failure and turning it into another potential success. As always, I ask that you can support the show in any way you can. The easiest way to do that is to share the show with a friend, whether it be a retweet or a Facebook share or something like that. You can find us on Facebook at Louisville.am. You can subscribe in the podcasts app on your Apple device. You can subscribe in Stitcher Smart Radio, which is what I really dig. Or you can just listen on the website. Any way you get to us is a good way, if you ask me. Real quick, before we get started with John, I did get the email about Startup Weekend coming back. In September, I did it the last time they were in town in March, and it was a fantastic experience. I've talked about it with other people here on the podcast, and if you have an idea or you just want to see what it's like to work in this really hectic environment, you got 54 hours to really build a company and get it off the ground, I suggest you sign up. The dates are September 20th through the 22nd. It's going to be at the Nucleus Innovation Park on Market Street, a great new venue. Startup Weekend really was a great experience for me to network and find new people to get to know and to like, and I've continued to enjoy those relationships. So definitely go to louisville.startupweekend.org and investigate and hopefully sign up. Let's get going with John Mader from Local View on the Startup Podcast. Recording, and there we go. We're rolling, except for you. You got it. Let's just turn that on.
All right.
And then you just get real friendly with that microphone.
Okay. All right.
And your company is entirely different.
It's entirely different this time around.
Let's start with, we'll get to your new company and what you're doing.
Okay.
But I think the interesting lesson for people to learn here, having gone through the Lean Launchpad training myself,
okay,
is what caused you to do such a drastic pivot? Like
the original idea was wait times at restaurants.
Correct.
That was Why Wait. And then we tried to pivot away from that because of some issues we had on getting restaurants to update a wait time.
Right.
And we still had the name Why Wait, and we were just kind of had an identity crisis, and we needed to make a big change. People were using Why Wait, but
so the entire issue before was restaurants, just they weren't playing ball.
Yes.
You thought they were going to play ball.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so we had to make
a... Are you kicking yourself for not doing the research to find that out in advance?
The ones we surveyed said, yes, we will update a wait time.
Okay.
I mean, we validated it, and they did update a wait time. And there was 30 restaurants that did it for a couple of weeks. And then they're like, well, never mind, until they actually do it.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay.
And sometimes with the surveys, you'll ask, you know, would you be interested in doing this? And they'll say, yeah, this sounds really great. I'll do it. And then once they actually need to sign their name on a piece of paper or actually do something, then they're like,
yeah,
never mind.
That's too bad.
Yeah.
Well, you know, but you're on a bigger and better pastures at this point.
And a lot of companies start off doing one thing and then completely end up doing something different.
Now, did you guys just pivot this thing, or did you just completely shutter that and we're going to start up something else?
We pivoted and just built on top of our existing technology and kind of what we learned with Why Wait.
So all of the money and time that you put into it was not wasted?
No.
At all?
No.
It was merely evolved?
Yes.
I guess is how you would say it.
Yeah, there was two big problems with Why Wait. And the first one was scaling. if we wanted to enter new markets, we had to manually create restaurant databases, happy hours, events. We had to keep that data updated.
Yeah.
It'd be hard to enter Chicago and have, you know, three or four full-time people just crunching away on data. So with Local Viewer, new product, we aggregated that content. So we took a page out of Kayak's book, where they aggregated a bunch of content from Priceline and Orbitz and Travelocity, and we're doing the same. Everybody is letting everybody else have their data now. So Yelp says, use my reviews. So we brought over Yelp reviews instead of trying to do it ourselves.
Okay.
Eventful has millions of events in a database, and they encourage companies to take that data. So instead of manually doing it ourselves, we tied into their data. So we are now pulling events over to our product.
Okay. Where else?
Factual is they provide restaurant and local content, just address, hours of operation, all of that data.
And you find, is all of this accurate data?
Yes.
I guess you have to assume that it's accurate because...
Yeah, I mean, it's factual. A lot of big companies use it, like Yelp uses it. So they're paid to make sure that that data is up to date. I mean, that's their sole focus, is making sure they have the best data. It's not always accurate, but it's pretty close.
Just giving you data?
They charge $800 a month, and then once you start calling on a lot of their data, they'll charge more.
Okay. So there's an automated mechanism in there that
measures
all of that stuff.
Yeah.
Believe it or not, I'm not as technically minded as I look. I'm
and then for
I'm no dummy.
And then for menus at restaurants, there's a company, Single Platform, who has all the menus out there, and they put it into a order that every menu looks the same. It's really easy to read, and that's their main focus, is menus. So we pull all of the menus over.
But it's text-based menus?
Yes.
It's not like a PDF sort of thing?
No. It's text-based. It's really cool. It's easy to navigate. All the menus look the same.
Okay.
So now whenever we want to enter a market, we just turn on some switches, and all of this data comes to our product.
What's the time frame for the pivot here? I think I had you in last summer. It might even just have been a year ago.
Yeah, it was about a year ago. In December was when we were like, okay, we need to make a big change. And I don't think we thought it was going to be as big of a change as it really was.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, we went.
What did that look like? How many people were in the room? And did you have investors at that point?
Yes.
You had to have a very frank conversation with them and say, all right, here's the deal.
Yeah.
This is what we're going to do.
I mean, it was originally four people. Four full-time people that have been here since the beginning. It was just kind of, we're banging our heads against a wall on trying to make this work, and we really needed to fix a few major problems that we were having, one being the scaling issue. I mean, we needed to tie in data from other sources. The other one was not a strong revenue model. We really weren't making, we made some money, but we needed something a lot stronger.
Yeah.
So we switched our revenue model. And then why wait really didn't make sense, even the entire time, once we dropped the wait times aspect. I mean, so we decided to change that up and just did a full-on pivot.
So the four of you got in a room and you said, these are the issues we need to address.
Yeah, and it went, the product changed dramatically.
And you're all still friends?
Yes. Okay. From the brainstorming sessions, it went all over the place on what we were going to do. But we talked to you a lot.
There was never any point where you thought, oh, what are we doing here? We're completely wasting our time.
No. There's kind of a panic feeling when you really don't know what you're going to do.
Yeah.
But we knew we were going to figure it out. Yeah. But, you know, talking to hundreds of business owners, primarily restaurants at that time, seeing what they wanted, and then talking to our user base and seeing what they wanted, we thought we could come up with something.
Okay.
So, and we had a bunch of technology there that allowed for us to enter in all this information and show it on an app. So we already kind of had the foundation built for our technology. And it took a couple of months to really figure out.
Sort of retool everything.
Yes.
And you had to rebrand?
Yes.
Or create a new brand, actually.
Yeah.
All right. And are your investors still the same people?
Yes.
So they believe in you guys. They think that may have actually been the smartest move to make, to show them that you had the maturity and the wisdom to, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
Pure conjecture.
Yeah. I mean, it was an iffy time, but, you know, some of the initial investors invested in the people and not necessarily the idea at the time. They thought that we would they knew that we kind of had this goal of making a successful tech company here in Louisville, and that's what we set out to do.
Are they providing lean launchpad type guidance?
Yes. One of them in particular is. Okay. Not all. Some of them.
But you didn't have that with Why Wait,
no,
right?
No, not at all.
You guys were just throwing stuff against the wall. And
yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
But now you're hip to the whole action there.
Yeah.
Okay.
And to take a different approach to everything on decision making primarily.
How much time do you spend staring at that canvas, thinking about your assumptions and figuring out who you're going to call?
It's primarily the key metrics that I really am curious about. And we've answered a lot of them early on, but there's a couple with local view that we won't know until the product comes out. There's just really no way to know. And once we get into local view, you know, some of the metrics, if people actually use deals through our product, that's our revenue driver.
Let's talk about local view very specifically. Okay. and give me the, you know, the real quick pitch on what it is.
Okay.
So people can get a feel for that. And then we'll talk about
the product. Local view combines a bunch of different products into one. So you have Open Table and Yelp and the events that I was talking about. You have Living Social and Groupon and all these kind of fragmented pieces of local into one product. So that's a local view. If you want to find somewhere to eat or drink or an event to go to or a deal, a way to save money, then you can open up local view and see it all right there.
So you can say, I want to go to a concert. Boom.
Yes.
And they give you a list of concerts. And then will it list if there's a deal available for that?
Yes.
If restaurants that are nearby and all that sort of thing.
Yeah. And that's the product. And we're hoping just to take some market share from – we have everything that Urban Spoon has. And we have Yelp reviews. Urban Spoon doesn't have that. And we have events and happy hours, who delivers. With Groupon, you know, why would you go to Groupon when you could go to Local View, see all the Groupons and Living Social and Deal Chicken and Amazon Local and
Deal
all those.
Chicken. Delivering deals daily.
Yep.
Oh, my gosh.
So that's the product, is where we want to enter a market and not have to rely on signing up a business for it to be a usable product. That if you like any of the pieces that we're aggregating, you can find all the Open Table listings on our app. You know, you can find it all right there in one place.
So everybody is providing you data, be it Living Social, Yelp.
Yes.
Open Table.
Being, yes.
You're paying for that. How are you making up the money in order to your revenue?
So for our revenue model is we looked at really the companies that are making the most revenue in local space, and that is the daily deal sites. And everybody is doing a daily deal site.
Still?
Yeah.
I'm curious. I'm not a daily deal shopper, so.
I'm not really either, but yeah, they're still raking in the money.
Okay, I read headlines every now and then, but
In the last 2 years in Louisville, 1,600 businesses have ran a daily deal. 750,000 daily deals have been bought, and daily deal companies have made $7 million in Louisville alone in the last 2 years. And if a new Groupon pops up today, 1,000 people, you know, if it's a good restaurant or something, 1,000 people will buy it the first day.
Okay.
And they'll make...
The polish came off that apple pretty quickly.
Yeah.
When people started doing the daily deals, and then every media company popped up with one, and
yes.
then, you know, Groupon and Living Soda, and then the horror stories started to come out about how, I guess you can blame the retailer, I mean, for using it incorrectly or not thinking it through, but some of the blame lays on the...
Yes.
Salesperson who said, okay, this is what's going to happen. And so, I mean, that reputation got sullied pretty quickly.
Yeah.
So you're telling me they've overcome all of that nonsense? And
no, they're still bad. And people, you know, it's funny because I talk to a restaurant and they say, yeah, I hate Groupon. This is whenever you're validating it. I hate Groupon. I'm not going to use them. A month later, they're running a Groupon.
Hmm.
And the reason is Groupon has the power to send you customers.
Yeah.
And that's why you have a business, is to bring in customers.
Yeah.
And that's a lot of power. So some businesses love Groupon. They're happy with them. They'll continue to run them every single quarter. But we looked at the daily deal space, and every single one of them is the exact same. And there's problems with it. There's big problems. So we want to bring in kind of the second wave of the deal. The problem for a user, I have to put down my credit card, and I have to buy a deal. So I have to buy it in advance. And then it could expire on me.
Yeah, yeah, right. You may never use it.
And I'm paying, if I buy a Groupon, I pay Groupon.
Yeah.
Not the business. Mm-hmm. And then Groupon waits 15, 30 days, and then they pay the business their cut. So the business has to wait on payments. They're dealing with a middleman. I'm paying Groupon, then Groupon's paying the business. It's just a, you know, if you really look at it, why is it that way? So we wanted to eliminate the middleman with the way we do our deals, and that's what we did. So no longer do you have to buy deals in advance. You just go to the business with your app on your phone, and you redeem it when you're there. And we use your GPS to make sure that you're actually at that business. So whenever you go to redeem the deal, it will check, and if you're at the location, you move to a coupon screen. You show that coupon screen, and you got a Groupon for free. The business gets paid directly from the customers, and then we charge them on the back end. So instead of taking their money, we charge them at the end, and we do a lot less than Groupon does. So for the
I think I followed all of that.
Okay. I can say it again, but
no, that's fine. So you're actually collecting your own data on who's where and buying what.
Yes.
And that's very powerful in itself.
Yeah.
So can you recycle that data into, I don't know, getting somebody to come back in or, you know, I would think there's some revenue there to be had.
Yeah, there's a lot of ways we can get people to come back in, and that might be a big problem for people that run the Groupons and Living Socials. We're solving pain points with the daily deal space. That I don't buy daily deals because I don't understand buying them ahead of time. But I would just go in and use it. And it's better for the business because they don't have to wait. And we can do stuff with that where if you use a daily deal at BBC, that maybe they can give you a free dessert or something, you know, that you can use in the next couple of weeks to try to get you back. But with our it's called geofencing,
right,
where we put an invisible fence around a business, and if you're in that fence, you can use the coupon or the deal.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the...
That's a lot of technology, man.
Yeah.
Like, it seems as if you are taking bits and pieces of all of these different things that we hear about in the digital world, and you're just figuring out how to plug each part of that into your business one way or another.
Yeah.
Good for you. So who thinks of all this stuff? Do you guys have a larger team now? Do you have programmers?
No, it's probably smaller than Why Wait, or it is smaller. It's just a lot that we learned on. Really, we do a lot of research, a lot more research than we used to, on seeing what other companies are doing and kind of validating what we want to do with if it's working for somebody else. So the type of deals that I'm talking about, there is another company that's fairly small that is doing it. And they're doing very successful with it. The word of mouth is really big for them on their name getting out there. And people like to use deals that you don't have to buy, but you still get the same value. And it's easier to sell to a business because you're not Groupon and Living Social, and you're not doing it the exact same way as everybody else.
You have to have an outside sales force, or is this an inbound thing?
We're cold calling and going door to door, but we sign up businesses to run our type of deals.
Say that again.
So we sign up businesses to run local view deals.
Yes. Okay. So your long-term plan is to be, you're going to have to go to more cities.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. And scale up. So one of your big endeavors would be to hire an outside sales force in each individual city.
Yes.
Is that going to be your main expense, do you think, is having to pay these guys to... Yeah, shake the trees.
Right now our merchant acquisition, the cost is lower than we thought it was going to be. And we can get leads of everybody that's ran a daily deal in the past. And we said, we'll call them up, what's your pain with the – I saw you ran a Groupon, what'd you like or not like about it? I didn't like that they took 50% from me, or I didn't like I had to wait for payments. We have a solution where you don't have to wait for payments. So we have that group that – Groupon's already trained them on the benefits of running a deal.
Yeah.
And the exposure that you get from it. And then we come in and say, we do it better. So we have that class. And then we have the businesses that won't touch a daily deal, and we pitch it to them as, we can bring you customers. You only pay us when we do.
That's good.
It's a pay-per-performance. Yeah. So if I have a retail shop and I need more people in, I say, just pay me whenever I bring you a paying customer. And too often they might try to advertise in different places and not see a return.
You're operating in Louisville right now exclusively?
Yes. And in Bowling Green, Kentucky. We're just going to have, that's going to be part of our launch is Louisville. And
so we call this beta time and then.
Yes.
Okay. You'll roll out to specific cities.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what Why Wait was doing too, right?
Yes.
You're very strategically choosing your cities and.
Yes.
Okay.
So the main metric that I need to look at is, if I get 100 people to download LocalView, how many people are going to use a deal?
Yeah. And you can measure all that stuff,
yes,
right?
So whenever you use a deal for, let's say, $20 off at a restaurant, we make $2 whenever you use that deal.
Okay.
So that's how we make our money, is we charge the merchant whenever people come into their place and redeem these deals.
And it's a free app, though, so there's no revenue there.
No.
Okay.
So if I advertise on Facebook to get you to download the app and you use a deal every single month, then I make $24 off of you in a year, and it costs me $1 to get you to download it.
Hmm.
So it's a pretty good ROI. I mean,
yeah.
There's a lot of power whenever you can tell a business that you can bring them customers, and you only charge them when you do.
Do you guys meet regularly? Like, is it, how organized is the organization, I guess? Four of you full-time?
Four of us full-time, and we work in one room, and we share two big tables, so we're right next to each other all day.
Nine to five, I guess. That's so. It seems so antiquated to say 9 to 5.
8 to 10.
Okay.
Every day. And then three of us live together.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, so you just free and open conversation in this room, and somebody has an idea, and does everybody stop what they're doing to focus on it all of a sudden?
It depends on how busy it looks or what time of day it is. You know, late at night or early in the morning is kind of the time for that.
So it's very collaborative. I'm always interested in how, when somebody has an idea or a thought, whether it's in the shower or sitting at the table or, you know, when they're running or doing whatever it is, mm-hmm. how those ideas come to fruition in a team environment.
Yeah.
I'm kind of running a solo thing here. So. Yeah. I answer to myself, and I like it that way for the time being. I guess I have hosts that I work with, but when somebody says, "Oh, I got something," like, what does that look like? Do you call an emergency meeting if you're out of the office, or come on, we're going to get beers? I got an idea. We got to go get beers. Something like that.
It's a whiteboard session. That's what we usually. Somebody will yell at, "Okay, let's have a whiteboard session. I got an idea," and then that's where it starts. So if there's a new creative way to get downloads or a better way to sell to businesses.
Okay. Then you take out your business canvas and you say, where does this fit on here? Is this a sales channel thing or is this a partnership thing?
And, you know, we don't really use the canvas.
I know.
We didn't go through the accelerator. We didn't do the lean launch thing. And I don't have anything against it. We just don't use it.
Well, okay.
And maybe we should.
I'm not going to hold it. Whatever. I mean, it's just.
And maybe I shouldn't say that because it is kind of the handbook of the startups right now is you have to go buy it.
Yeah. You can download the canvas off the internet. And there's a PDF of it you can get. But
and we had 30 restaurants say we're going to update a wait time. You know, we validated that.
Right.
And they didn't. So sometimes you do have to. You know, sometimes the mistakes that we had from Why Wait, I'm glad we made those because it made us so much better.
Yeah,
it was expensive, but I couldn't imagine not going through those trials.
Yeah.
I mean, we wouldn't have learned as much as we did. We would have saved some money, but maybe.
Well, that's the whole thing of the Lean Launchpad. You're going to ask a bunch of questions. You're going to save money to fail when you fail instead of it being so expensive. And, but you guys are young.
Yeah. So I don't know which way is better.
The only reason I really dig the business model canvas, because I've always been a guy that had just crap tons of ideas.
Yeah.
What if you could make cellophane that goes on I grew up, you know, sort not in the country, in southern Indiana, and you're driving around in the summertime and there are bugs all over your windshield. You cannot scrub that stuff off.
Yeah.
Well, in my head, I invented these cellophane sheets that you could buy in maybe sheets of 15 or 20, and you'd stick them all over your windshield. And when it got too dirty, you just peeled one off. And
I like that.
Of course, so does NASCAR. I watch a NASCAR race.
Yeah.
Somebody already invented it. So, you know, it's a good but I would have been able to go to the canvas, which is what I do now, and at least start filling out those blanks, thinking, okay, is this something that I need to think through more? Or can I just shelve this, or am I going to get real excited about it? So if nothing mm-hmm. else, it's just a way to organize your thoughts.
Yeah.
Whether you go through the entire process or not, that's up to you, but I don't know. I think we
found out about it too late. We already.
It's never too late.
Yeah. I mean, we will try to use it, and we did whenever, you know, it was the talk of the town.
Well, and another thing, I don't think that this is necessarily the right way for mm-hmm. everybody. And I've always, throughout my entire career, I thought, okay, there's a right way and a wrong way to do things. Well, that's not really true.
Yeah.
there are many different ways to do things, and some things are right for you and some things are right for them, and it just depends on circumstances and personality and that sort of thing. So, you know, I'm not flogging you with a wet noodle or anything. I'm just telling you what I, my in my limited experience, that's what people have been doing.
It would have saved us a lot of money up to this point, but we might not have learned the things we did.
Well, you didn't lose your investors.
No.
So, you know, no harm and no foul.
Yeah.
So what's the timeline at this point? Are you active in the app, app store?
No, we'll be live next week.
How timely.
Yes.
All right.
That so was, it might be today. I don't know when this comes out.
Yeah, this will come out on Tuesday the 31st.
Okay.
Is that – I have to look at my calendar. It doesn't make any – no, 27th. Tuesday the 27th.
I'm really on record. Yeah, go ahead and go to your app store, the Google Play Store, or the Apple Store.
It's in both. I can't talk you into a Windows phone because I guess nobody really cares, even after all this, all of my proselytizing event on Windows Phone.
Yeah.
Still nobody cares. It's beautiful, though. Windows 8 app, I would like to see that for the desktop. That would be very useful for me to, you know, to plan my – I got a family. I'm not going to get in the car and go out. I can't be that spontaneous. So.
Yeah.
I need to make my plans ahead of time.
Mm-hmm.
And I like the Windows 8 tiles and all of that stuff. Again, I'm in the minority there. So.
Yeah.
All right, so you'll be active next week, and then we're just going to see how this goes. And then do you have a timeline for when you want to expand, or does that just depend on how it does here?
And that's kind of what we learned. I mean, we're collecting all the metrics to make sure that the key ones are how much does it cost to get somebody to put it onto their phone. And you know, that kind of blows people's minds whenever you say that. But if I spend $1,000 on a radio ad, how many people are going to download it?
Right.
If 1,000 people download it, then I paid $1 a download.
Yeah.
And then let's say...
Is that acceptable?
That's acceptable.
Download? Okay.
But what I'm hoping for is that there's some word of mouth as well. So early on, we're going to be doing digital targeted advertising that I know whenever somebody clicks and downloads.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll get exactly... I spent $200 and I got 200 downloads. And then with that information, I can see how many downloads are coming from word of mouth.
Okay.
From some other source aside from the advertising that we're doing. So I really want word of mouth to be high and the cost per download to be low.
Don't you love the digital age?
Yeah.
I mean, I've been in the ad game for a long time and it was a guessing game for so long.
Yeah.
You just don't know where people are coming from. You can put stuff out and make your best guess and then you make these assumptions and there are little, you know, tricks you can do, but digital baby, it just takes a lot of the guesswork out and it's beautiful.
Something we didn't have with Why Wait was the Facebook mobile ads, suggested app where you can go right to the store. And we can cater different ads. Like we have a save 32% at 32 Degree Yogurt Bar in St. Matthew's Mall. So we'll probably target that area of town and people who like yogurt and put that ad out there.
Mm-hmm.
As download Local View to save 32%.
Who doesn't like yogurt?
Everybody, I guess.
I guess I haven't officially liked it, and I'm using finger quotes on Facebook.
Yeah.
I know.
So that's
it's my gut tells you exactly what I like: hot dogs and pizza and beer.
Yeah. So that's see how much it costs to get somebody to download the app, see what the word of mouth is, and then what percentage of people are going to actually use deals.
Yeah.
So
that's fascinating, man.
Yeah, and I mean, we're really for this to work, we just need 7% of people to use a deal about once a month.
Okay.
So if I get 100 people to download the app, 7 of them go to BBC or go to the hair salon and use a deal.
Wow, that's it?
That's it.
That doesn't seem too unachievable to
No.
me. All right. Well, there's a new Twitter account for you guys.
Yes.
Right, which is at LocalView?
Yes, LocalView app.
Okay, right.
Available. Somebody has a LocalView and it was just dormant and they're not even using it, but we can't grab it. We can't even message them.
Oh, really? They're not even paying attention to that? No. Oh, that's too bad.
And then our website is localview.co.
Co, huh?
Or .co. And the localview.com people, they only want $26,000 for localview.com.
Whatever.
Yeah, so we might wait on that domain.
You can tack app on the backside of that. Domaining, that just cracks me up.
Yeah.
And I own domains I'd like to sell, trust me, but I know that there's always an alternative.
Yep.
Name out there, so you know, charging $26,000 for something, that's crazy.
I know,
but you know, people are making money off of it. So, well, man, thank you for coming back in for the update.
Yeah.
It's exciting to hear that somebody that is turning lemons into lemonade, yeah. And you know, everything was not like devastating for you guys. It was much, not even close to devastating.
No,
it was.
It's the whole thing has been an awesome experience, and we're not done by a long shot. I mean, we're going to keep on plugging away.
Yeah,
and that's the mentality you have to have.
You guys are so young too.
Yeah. Right?
What are you, just 2 years out of school? Is that?
About 3 or 4.
Okay.
Yeah.
You got it going on, man.
I appreciate it.
Yeah. Nice work.
Thank you.